Part 1. Natal Astrology. We and the cosmos are one. The cosmos is a vast living body of which we are still parts. The sun is a great heart whose tremors run through our smallest veins. The moon is a great gleaming nerve center from which we quiver forever. Who knows the power that Saturn has over us, or Venus? But it is a vital power, rippling exquisitely through us all the time. Now all this is literally true, as men knew in the great past, and as they will know again. D.H. Lawrence, Apocalypse. In natal astrology, your character and destiny are analyzed in terms of the positions of the planets in the sky at the moment of your birth. These positions are mapped in a birth chart or horoscope. It has often been argued that the moment when you were conceived marked the beginning of your life and should be taken as a basis, but this would obviously be difficult. The time of conception is usually not known and cannot be calculated back from the time of birth. Besides, as an American astrologer explains, when a baby draws his first breath, he inhales air, the causal substance of the planet Earth, and becomes an independent being. Until the moment of birth, he is merely a part of his mother. The astrologer needs to know the exact time of birth, which creates a difficulty because you may not know it, and a difference of as little as an hour can make a considerable difference to the positions of the planets in your birth chart. One solution is to draw what is called a Hindu chart, which uses the time of sunrise on your birthday, on the theory that the planetary positions at the beginning of the day on which you began give a rough indication of your personality and future. But most astrologers say that the indication is too rough, and they prefer the process of rectification. In rectification, charts are drawn for several likely birth moments. If you know you were born in the early morning, the astrologer can chart the positions of the planets at each hour from midnight to 6 a.m. He compares these charts with what he knows of your life and character, selects the one which seems to fit you best, and uses it as the basis for his predictions. This process has considerable possibilities. If your astrologer's predictions never seem to come true, perhaps you have been misinformed about the time of your birth. By using a different time, the astrologer may provide more accurate predictions, and he will cheerfully go on to claim that he has discovered the correct time of your birth into the bargain. Rectification is not new. The eminent 16th century mathematician Cardan so detested Luther that he altered Luther's birth date to give him an unfavorable horoscope. When the moment of birth, real or rectified, has been determined, the astrologer charts the position of the sun, moon, and planets in the sky at that moment. There is a good deal of disagreement among astrologers about the influences of the sun and moon. It is accepted that the sun, as the most important of the heavenly bodies, has a dominating influence on your character. But some authorities say that the sun rules the inner self and the moon the outer self, while others say it is the other way around. The sun is the world's powerhouse, the creator of light and heat, and so it is said to influence a man's creative power, vitality, will, and ambition. Since the discovery that the sun stays still while the planets revolve around it, many astrologers have concluded that the sun's position in the sky at your birth is the principal factor in creating your real self, the basic temperament which remains the same through all vicissitudes, the qualities and abilities which are central to your nature. Other astrologers, however, emphasize the sun's role in creating the lighted or conscious part of the mind, the outer personality, appearance, and physical characteristics. Those who see the sun as the ruler of the real self take the moon as the mistress of the outer personality. The moon rules fluctuation, change, growth and decay, the ebb and flow of superficial relations and feelings above the hard rocks of your basic temperament. The moon receives light from the sun and reflects it, and so it governs receptivity and response, your reactions to other people and the world around you, acquired habits and mannerisms. But, on the other hand, the moon is also traditionally the ruler of night and the depths of the mind, the inner driving forces of a man's being. The influences of the planets follow the characteristics of the gods for whom they are named. Astrologers are not so naive as to say that Venus rules love because it is named for a love goddess. Their argument is the other way round. After long study, the ancients named Venus for the beautiful goddess of love because they found that its influence was chiefly felt in matters of love and beauty. Quote, "The planets were not named after the gods were named after the planets," unquote. Mercury was the messenger of the gods and the god of intelligence, eloquence, and merchandise. The planet rules your intelligence, and especially your ability to communicate with other people, the messenger function. Mercurial means active, sprightly, changeable, and if you are much influenced by this planet, you will have these characteristics. Mercury was a celestial middleman, transferring messages, ideas, goods, and astrologers say that his planet influences you mainly through its connections with other planets. It tends to be a neutral force, which recalls the hermaphrodite as an alchemical symbol for Mercury. Venus rules love, affection, peace and harmony, beauty, and appreciation of beautiful things. It governs your emotional makeup and your relationships with other people in love and friendship. The Babylonians named this planet for the goddess of love, and the Greeks and Romans followed suit, perhaps because it is most often seen in the early evening after sunset and in the early morning after sunrise, so that its appearances seem to set the bounds of night, the time for lovemaking. Mars is the planet of belligerence, aggressiveness, activity, violent energy, determination. Its position in your birth chart indicates how active and energetic you are, and in what ways. This is because the Sumerians and Babylonians connected the planet with blood, fire, and the god of war, probably because of its reddish color. Blood carries life and vitality. Fire is active, energetic, and destructive. Through the connection with red, Mars was thought to be a particularly hot planet, and some modern astrologers say that it affects your tendency to become heated in illness as well as in feelings, so that it influences your susceptibility to fever. Jupiter, named for the father and ruler of gods and men, governs your ability to dominate, your tendency to fatherliness and joviality, to expansiveness and breadth of mind, and your ability to achieve prosperity and comfort. The Babylonians connected the planet with Marduk, a god who personified the sun in springtime, drying the land after the floods, bringing back order after chaos, and presiding over the growth of crops. The result is that Jupiter is the planet of order and organization, beneficence, success, and money, growing crops. Observation of its changing positions in the sky is the basis for astrological prediction of fluctuations on the stock market. It also rules health, and its symbol is still used to head prescriptions. Saturn, like Mars, is traditionally an evil planet, occupied in frustrating the hopes of men and bringing upon them death, failure, catastrophe, misery, and general gloom. This is because the Romans mistakenly identified Saturn, who was originally a harmless agricultural god, with the Greek god Cronus, C-R-O-N-O-S, possibly because both of them had the sickle as an emblem. Cronus was the old and savage ruler of the Greek gods who castrated his father Uranus with a sickle, ate his own children, and was eventually tricked and overthrown by Zeus. Cronus, in turn, was wrongly identified with Cronus, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, time. And so the planet rules the inexorable passing of time, which eats its own children in turning all things to dust. In addition, Saturn is cold because it is the furthest from the sun of the old planets, and black because its light is dim. Modern astrologers, who tend to be all sweetness and light, prefer not to attribute evil influences to the heavens, and they see Saturn as the celestial taskmaster, governing your powers of self-discipline and self-control, your capacity for endurance and the bearing of responsibility. Their picture of Saturn is still not a very cheerful one, and they seem in awe of a planet which they personify more often than any of the others. The Hollywood astrologer Carol Reiter, self-styled world's greatest astrologian, says of Saturn in his Astrology and You, quote, "Under his influence, you get exactly what you have earned, not one whit more or less. He is the planet of justice, and only gives you that to which you are entitled," unquote. The discovery of planets which were not known to the ancient world has caused astrologers much hard work and considerable irritation over the last 200 years. The new planets do not fit neatly into the astrological scheme of things. Astrologers have tried to discover the nature of their influences by calculating their positions in people's birth charts and gauging their effects on these people's lives. Important political and social events occurring after each new planet's discovery are also taken as clues to its astrological nature, but the main emphasis is still on the god for whom the planet is named. Uranus was christened for the Greek sky god who was deposed by Cronus and was the father of the Titans, the Cyclopes, and the Hundred-Handed Ones, who were probably personifications of the violent upheavals and convulsions of nature, eruptions, tidal waves, earthquakes. It is the planet of sudden change, upheaval, and revolution. Its influence may make you willful, independent, impatient of restraints, wild and unconventional, likely to do or say peculiar and unexpected things. It is the planet of originality and invention, because Uranus was the father and originator of all living things. It is also the planet of electricity, because he was the god of lightning. Neptune, named for the Roman god of the sea, is the planet of impressionability, because water is fluid and shifting and takes the shape of any container. It governs spiritual and psychic matters, the mysterious depths of things. As the ruler of dreams, Neptune is connected with the motion picture industry. Under its influence, you may be preacher, medium, mystic, or occultist, or you may be watery, in the sense of being vague, dreamy, and impractical. Astrologers are not certain about Pluto, but usually treat it as a planet of change and transformation, because Pluto was lord of death and the underworld, though they agree that its influence on human life has not yet been sufficiently studied. To draw your birth chart, the astrologer needs a method of describing exactly where each planet was in the sky at the time of your birth. To locate any position on the Earth's surface, we use a grid of imaginary lines, the lines of longitude and latitude, and we can state the position of any place on the Earth in terms of these lines. In the same way, astrologers use an imaginary measuring rod, the zodiac, to describe the positions of the planets in the sky. Diagram 6. The zodiac is an imaginary backcloth in the heavens. We see the sun, moon, and planets moving across this backcloth, and we can describe the position of a planet at a given moment by stating the point which it has reached on the backcloth. For accuracy in doing this, the zodiac is divided into 12 equal sections called the signs of the zodiac, and the signs are divided into degrees. There are 30 degrees in each sign. In diagram 6, the sun, seen from the Earth on April the 4th, appears to be halfway across the zodiac sign Aries, and Venus is halfway across the sign Gemini. These positions are stated as Sun at 15 degrees Aries, Venus at 15 degrees Gemini. By July 6th, the Earth has moved some way along its orbit round the Sun, so that the Sun now appears to be at 15 degrees Cancer, with Venus at 15 degrees Libra. The positions of the moon and the other planets could be shown and stated in the same way. Venus is shown here only for purposes of illustration. Its positions would not be the same on April 4th and July 6th every year. Viewed from the Earth, the sun appears to move across the backcloth of the zodiac. The fact that it only appears to do this, and that it is really the Earth which is moving, does not upset the calculations of astrologers. To say that the sun is now passing through the sign of Libra, or that the Earth is moving in such a way that the sun appears to be passing through Libra, is to state the same fact about the relative positions of sun and Earth, and it is the relative positions with which astrologers are concerned. In astrology, the signs of the zodiac are not the constellations which have the same names. On March 21st each year, astrologers say that the sun is in Aries. In reality, the sun is not in the constellation Aries, though it was 2,000 years ago, but in the constellation Pisces. When an astrologer today says that the sun is in one sign of the zodiac, it is really in the preceding sign, which seems to cast some doubt on all astrological findings for several hundred years past. But astrologers distinguish between the constellations and the signs. The constellations are groups of stars in the sky. The signs are artificial divisions of the sky and are not affected by precession of the equinoxes, the phenomenon which has caused the difference in the sun's apparent position in the constellations. This distinction was drawn by Ptolemy, the father of medieval and modern astrology, in his Tetrabiblos. But astrologers are on treacherous ground with it because much of their doctrine comes from astrologers of the ancient world to whom the signs and constellations were identical, and the names of the constellations have considerable influence on the astrological nature of the signs. The apparent motion of the sun carries it through the full circle of the zodiac every year, and it spends approximately 1 month in each zodiac sign. The day of your birth, regardless of the year, gives you one major factor in your birth chart, the sign occupied by the sun. Horoscopes in newspapers and magazines are based on this factor, the sun sign. Each sign of the zodiac is ruled by one or more of the planets, and the planet which rules a sign strongly affects the sign's characteristics. The origin of these rulerships is lost in the mists of antiquity, but they seem to be based on a logical system. According to Ptolemy, writing in the early 2nd century A.D., the two signs which cover the period of maximum warmth are Cancer and Leo, July and August, and so they are ruled by the moon and sun, the bearers of light and heat. The two opposite signs, Aquarius and Capricorn, belong to Saturn because it is the coldest planet, the furthest from the sun. Jupiter, next to Saturn, rules the next two signs, and Mars the next two. Mercury is never further from the sun than one sign in either direction, so it rules the signs next to Leo and Cancer, and Venus, which is never further than two signs from the sun, rules the next two signs. Diagram 7 shows the signs, the planet which rules each sign in the inner circle, and the dates during which the sun is in each sign. The new planets have upset the neat traditional arrangement and have to share the rulership of three of the signs. The signs are divided into groups called quadruplicities and triplicities. These groupings, again traditional, have an important effect on the astrological nature of each sign. Quadruplicities: cardinal, fixed, mutable, or common. Cardinal: Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. Fixed: Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. Mutable or common: Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, Pisces. When the position of each planet in the zodiac at your birth has been discovered, the number of planets in each quadruplicity is counted. If the sun, moon, and all eight planets were in cardinal signs when you were born, for instance, you will have strongly cardinal characteristics. The cardinal signs mark the beginning of each of the four seasons: spring, Aries, March 21st, summer, Cancer, June 22nd, autumn, Libra, September 23rd, and winter, Capricorn, December 22nd. When the sun enters each of these signs, it is moving into a new section of its course, leading the way into a new season, causing seasonal changes on Earth. By as above, so below reasoning, if a majority of the planets were in cardinal signs when you were born, you will be restless and always anxious to be on the move, a natural leader and pioneer, a person who sets things going and starts things happening. If most of your planets were in fixed signs, you are rather dull by comparison. When the sun is in these signs, each season is in full swing, firmly established, fixed, and you will tend to be stable, solid, and unadaptable. You suspect new ideas and methods, you dislike change, but you are tenacious and purposeful. The mutable signs mean change, an old season giving way to a new one. If this is your group, you will be changeable and adaptable, sometimes positively unstable. You may also have a strong bent for service to others because the old season is unselfishly withdrawing so that the year can proceed on its way. Triplicities. Fire, earth, air, water. Fire, Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Earth, Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. Air, Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. Water, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. The number of planets in each triplicity in your chart is also counted. If your planets are predominantly in the fire signs, you have fiery characteristics. You are aspiring, warm, bright and cheerful, jumpy and excitable, able to burn with passion and feeling, or better still, with a hard, gem-like flame. People not of your own kind may find you extremely alarming. An earth person is earthy, dependable and solid as the ground beneath our feet, cautious, practical, taciturn and quiet, except for occasional violent eruptions, possibly limited and narrow in outlook, perhaps even a clod. Air people are light and lively, gay, intellectual, idealistic, free and easy, but sometimes rather airy-fairy and too much inclined to talk hot air with their heads in the clouds. The water group are naturally watery, sensitive, emotional, deep, intuitive, secretive, unstable, treacherous, perhaps wet, sloppy, or drips. Astrologers do not regard this kind of thing as mere wordplay. Astrologers share the magician's belief that an association between two things in the human mind is evidence of a real connection between the two things in the universe. The astrological nature of each sign is a blend of the characteristics of the planet which rules it, the quadruplicity and triplicity to which it belongs, and the animal or object which it represents. The animals and objects come from the Greeks. The Babylonian names of the signs were different in most cases. Aries, for instance, is cardinal, implying movement, leadership, creativity, and fiery, implying drive, energy, excitement. Its ruler is Mars, the planet of vigor and activity. Consequently, Aries is the most active and energetic of the signs. And if you were born when the sun was in Aries, you will be driving, impatient, aggressive, possibly violent and destructive, a born leader and fighter. You will be creative and optimistic, probably egotistical and belligerent. Aries is the sign of the ram, and you will be very much like a ram, even a battering ram. You should have the strong sexuality which rams are supposed to enjoy, and you may look like one, with a long neck and well-marked eyebrows, which, with your nose, make you resemble the astrologer's symbol for Aries. That Arians look like rams is not a modern discovery. Bartholomew of England, writing in the mid-13th century, said that Arians have, quote, a hairy body, a crooked frame, an oblique face, heavy eyes, short ears, a long neck, unquote. The sign Leo is fiery but fixed, and if it is your sun sign, you will have greater stability than the Arians. Leos are lion-like, powerful, dignified, dominating, courageous, generous, honest, loyal, and inflexible. They have fine heads of hair, short noses and large handwriting, paw marks. Extremely creative, they can be imperious, self-righteous, patronizing, and unable to cooperate with others. They are particularly successful as leaders of men in action. Caesar and Napoleon were both Leos, so was Mussolini. Much of this follows from the fact that the sun is Leo's ruler, and Leos always go forward in life because the sun never retrogrades. The planets sometimes appear to be moving backwards or retrograde in the zodiac, but the sun never does this. Sagittarius, the third fiery sign, is also a mutable sign, and its natives are correspondingly fiery but changeable. Ambitious, clever, and imaginative, they may show inconsistency and inability to concentrate. The ruling planet, Jupiter, brings them breadth of mind and a bold, generous character, but they can be domineering, and Sagittarian women are inclined to air their opinions too loudly and too often. This is the sign of the centaur, and Sagittarians love travel, movement, hunting, the outdoors, sports and animals, especially horses, the centaur being half-horse. In the earth triplicity, Taurus is a fixed sign and the sign of the bull. Taurus people are accordingly reliable, solid, patient, slow and careful, clumsy but tenacious. They are thick-set and heavy-necked, usually placid but with violent tempers. It is not a good idea to wave red rags in front of them. They love comfort and possessions and are possessive in love. Venus gives them a liking for peace, harmony, and beautiful things. Bulls are renowned procreators, and Taurians may have great creative abilities. Shakespeare, Gibbon, Robert Browning, Kant, Brahms, Wagner, Sibelius, and Salvador Dali were all born under this sign. Virgo, earthy and mutable, is not a very promising sign. Its earthy character causes stolidity, quietness, and dependability. Its mutable character, a bent for service to others. Virgos, of course, are virginal, cool, modest, and prudent, and they tend to be old maidish, fussy, critical, nervous, and tense, over-concerned with their health. Mercury gives them intelligence, an attractive voice, and a knack for languages. Capricorn, the sign of the goat, is earthy and cardinal. Its natives are solid, practical people, but also determined leaders, capable of leaping over all dangers and butting away all obstacles. Saturn brings them gravity, caution, a cool, utilitarian cast of mind. They make excellent politicians. To look at, naturally, they are saturnine and have long faces like goats. Gemini is the first of the air signs and is also mutable. Its ruler is Mercury, planet of intelligence, communicativeness, and restlessness. Geminians are intelligent, inventive, and inquisitive, but also extremely changeable and jumpy, going up and down like Mercury in a thermometer. They can be heartless and two-faced because this is the sign of the twins, but they are usually very loyal and devoted to their families because the original twins, Castor and Pollux, were noted for their brotherly affection. Libra is airy and cardinal, implying movement and restlessness, lightness and intuitiveness. This is the sign of the balance or scales under the rule of Venus, which may make Librans attractive in looks or personality, fond of beauty, and good at creating harmony around them. They have a balanced quality about them and a pleasing tact. They weigh everything carefully in their scales, and they often find it hard to make up their minds or make definite decisions. They are restless and easily become discontented. They are neat and precise, dislike ugliness and dirt, and have a great need for sympathy and friendship. Aquarius is airy but fixed, the sign of the water carrier, ruled by Uranus and Saturn. Aquarians are brilliant and inventive, airy, and also persistent and determined, fixed. They are much concerned to help others, water carrying, pouring themselves out on the world, as it were, but they can be fanatical, tactless, and independent to the point of perversity, influence of Uranus. They are sociable people who tend to wear odd clothes and have noticeable ankles. They are prone to accidents involving electricity and are unusually likely to be struck by lightning. Washington, Franklin, Lincoln, General MacArthur, and Adlai Stevenson are included among Aquarians. Cancer, the crab, is the cardinal water sign. If you were born with a sun in Cancer, you may be relieved to hear that you are not expected to look exactly like a crab. Your round, pale face comes from the moon, Cancer's ruler. Your characteristics are crab-like, though. You are much given to movement, travel, and exploration, cardinal qualities. Under the surface, you are shy, timid, introspective, watery qualities. Your caution and your excellent memory, combined with your understanding of current trends, the moon, may make you a successful businessman like John D. Rockefeller Sr. and Marshall Field, who were Cancers. Sensitive, protective, and home-loving, you like to collect things. When trouble comes, you naturally tend to scuttle for cover. A Scorpio person unites the deep qualities of the watery signs, the stability of the fixed signs, and the characteristics of the scorpion. Scorpios are darkly secretive, intense, passionate. They have invincible willpower, sharp and resilient minds and characters. They have a knack for acquiring great wealth. They are terrible and relentless enemies. They should keep their feet firmly on the ground and be careful about their diet, because scorpions are scavengers. Lastly, Pisces is watery and mutable. The wretched Pisceans, ruled by the vague and impressionable Neptune, are excessively changeable, emotional, dependent on others, nervous, muddled, easily upset, and almost incapable of making definite decisions. They are the fishes, and first they swim upstream, then they swim down. But they are friendly, sympathetic people, and they often have considerable artistic talent and an intuitive understanding of the mysterious and the intangible. Sometimes they are evasive and slippery, like fish. They are fond of the water and swimming, naturally. They should have protuberant eyes and slightly vacant expressions. Your sun sign is of great astrological importance because it has a dominating effect on your basic character, but your personality is also affected by the positions of the moon and the planets in the zodiac when you were born. The zodiacal position of a planet indicates the particular way in which that planet will affect your character in life. For instance, one of the characteristics of Taurus is a liking for food, drink, and comfort. If Mars, the planet of vigor and activity, was in Taurus at your birth, it may be that your Martian energy is particularly directed to food, drink, and comfort, so that you tend to overeat, drink too heavily, and generally overindulge yourself. Venus is the planet of love. If Venus was in the balanced, harmonious sign of Libra when you were born, your love life should be pleasant, gentle, and peaceful. But if Venus was in the dark and passionate sign of Scorpio, you are likely to have fierce and tempestuous love affairs. Not only does the influence of a planet show itself in a different way in each zodiac sign, but the strength of the influence may vary. Traditionally, each planet has a sign in which its influence is strong, a sign in which it is exalted or powerful, and a sign in which it is debilitated or weak. For example, Saturn is strong when it is in Capricorn, exalted when in Libra, weak when in Aries. Venus is strong in Taurus, exalted in Pisces, but weak in Virgo, which seems logical. Astrologers use special tables called ephemerides to find the positions of the sun, moon, and planets at your birth. These tables also show which sign was on the eastern horizon at the time and place of your birth. The point where your eastern horizon appeared to intersect the zodiac is called the ascendant, and the sign on the horizon is said to be on the ascendant. In diagram 8, point A is your birthplace, and the ascendant is marked ASC. On this particular day, the sun was at 15 degrees Aquarius. If you were born at sunrise, the eastern horizon from point A intersected Aquarius, and so Aquarius is both your sun sign and the sign on the ascendant. At midday, the sun is still at 15 degrees Aquarius, but the earth has revolved on its axis in such a way that the eastern horizon now intersects Taurus, and Taurus is the sign on the ascendant. By sunset, the earth has revolved still further. The eastern horizon from point A intersects Leo, and Leo is the sign on the ascendant, though the sun sign is still Aquarius. The sign on the ascendant, the sign which was rising over your eastern horizon at the time of your birth, is an extremely important factor in your birth chart. This sign is supposed to have great influence on your personality and destiny, and the planet which rules the ascendant sign is the ruling planet of your life. Born at midday, as in diagram 8, with the sun in Aquarius and Taurus on the ascendant, your character will be a blend of Aquarius-Taurus qualities, subject to the influence of Venus, which rules Taurus and is therefore your ruling planet. Born a few hours later at sunset, you will be a mixture of Aquarius-Leo qualities, and your ruler is the sun, which rules Leo. All children born between January 20th and February the 18th have the same sun sign, Aquarius, but they will not have identical personalities because their ascendant signs will differ with the time and place of each child's birth. Their sun sign characteristics may be modified by those of any one of the 11 other signs. This greatly increases the number of personality types available to astrologers. as the positions of the moon and the planets also have to be taken into account, it is clear that astrological character analysis is not simple or uncomplicated. However, two children born at the same time and within a few miles of each other will have identical birth charts, which has been one of the principal arguments against astrology for centuries. The complications have only just begun, however. The birth chart is intended to be a map of the sky as seen from your birthplace. Not only do the planets move through the zodiac, but the signs of the zodiac themselves also appear to move, circling the Earth once every 24 hours because of the Earth's rotation on its axis. The Sun at 15 degrees Capricorn at your birth could have been at any point on the circumference of a circle in the sky, the center of the circle being your birthplace. To pin down its position relative to your birthplace, astrologers have invented yet another imaginary division of the sky, again into 12 sections, called houses. Imagine a gigantic wheel. Diagram 9. Its rim is formed by the signs of the zodiac, so that it encircles the earth. The hub of the wheel is at your birthplace. 12 spokes radiate from the hub to the wheel's rim in the sky, dividing the wheel into 12 parts, the houses. The hub and spokes are stationary, but the rim of the wheel is revolving, and the signs of the zodiac, stretched along the rim, are moving with it. The sun, moon, and planets are moving independently along the rim at various rates of speed. The birth chart shows the wheel's position at the moment when you were born. This is a pre-Copernican illustration, and in reality, it is the hub and spokes which move and the rim which stays still. But this does not affect the relative position of a planet or zodiac sign to your birthplace, which is what the chart is intended to show. Suppose the ascendant at your birth, the point on the zodiac or rim of the wheel intersected by your eastern horizon, was 10 degrees Cancer. This is marked on the chart as the first spoke of the wheel, the boundary of the first house, as in diagram 9, in which the numbers of the houses are shown at the center. The other zodiac signs follow round the wheel in order. The first house begins at 10 degrees Cancer, the second at 10 degrees of the next sign, Leo, the third at 10 degrees of the next sign, Virgo, and so on. The planetary positions can now be marked in. The sun was at 20 degrees Scorpio, and appears in the fifth house of the chart, which covers the stretch of the sky from 10 degrees Scorpio to 10 degrees Sagittarius. The moon at 11 degrees Taurus is just inside the 11th house, which begins at 10 degrees Taurus. Mercury at 9 degrees Aquarius falls in the 7th house, which ends at 10 degrees Aquarius. If you imagine yourself standing at your birthplace at the center of the chart, your eastern horizon intersects 10 degrees Cancer, the ascendant, your western horizon intersects 10 degrees Capricorn, and the point in the sky immediately above your head is 10 degrees Aries. You can see the moon and Mercury above you in the sky, but it is nighttime, and you cannot see the sun, which is at the other side of the earth. The house position of a planet is supposed to reveal the department of life in which its influence will show itself. The departments of life are, briefly, house position 1, personality and appearance, house position 2, money and possessions, house position 3, mental capacities, knowledge, self-expression, short journeys, house position 4, childhood environment, house position 5, children, pleasures, love affairs, risks and speculation, house position 6, health, work, services rendered, by you to others or by others to you, house position 7, close relationships in marriage, love, business, house position 8, death, legacies and other sources of gain. House position 9. Religious and philosophical views, travels, dreams. House position 10. Career, status, reputation, responsibilities. House position 11. Friends, social life, hopes, desires, ambitions. House position 12. enemies, secrets, the unconscious mind, limitations, self-imposed or imposed by others. A planet's influence affects you in a particular way in a zodiac sign and in a particular area of life in a house. For instance, Venus in Pisces is supposed to produce an impractical, dreamy character. If Venus is in Pisces in the fifth house of your chart, this may mean that you will be dreamily impractical about your children, and also that you should avoid plunging heavily on the stock market. If Venus is in Pisces in the 11th house, you may be dreamily impractical about your hopes and ambitions, and perhaps you should wake up to reality. Unfortunately, astrologers do not agree about the proper method of drawing the houses in the chart. Some use the system invented by Campanus in the 11th century, others the system invented by Regiomontanus in the 15th century, and others have devised their own methods. Some begin the first house with the ascendant. Others begin it near but not at the ascendant. Some space the houses evenly so that each house covers 30 degrees of the zodiac, but others space the houses unevenly. The inevitable result is that different astrologers give different interpretations of the same planetary positions because they place the planets in different houses. Diagram 10 is a sample birth chart. Since it is intended only as an illustration, I have shown the names of the planets and signs where an astrologer would use symbols. In this chart, the houses are not equal in extent. The sixth house covers 33 degrees, while the seventh covers 30 degrees. The ascendant is at 10 degrees Leo, but in this case the first house starts near but not at the ascendant. If you want to draw your own chart, Astrology for Everyone, by the well-known British astrologer Edward Lindow, has helpful tables and instructions which I have used in drawing this diagram, but many astrologers do not accept Lindow's house division system. The first point to consider is the sign on the ascendant. The ruling planet of this sign is the ruler of the person's life, and the affairs of the house occupied by the ruling planet will be of special importance in his life. In Diagram 10, Leo is on the ascendant, so the ruling planet is the Sun, which should produce a powerful, vital, creative life. The Sun is in the first house, which suggests that this man's personality and appearance will be particularly important factors in his life. His Sun sign is Leo, implying a commanding, powerful, and power-loving character. But this is modified by the fact that the Moon is in Pisces, which suggests that his inward reactions to things may tend to be emotional and confused. The Moon in the eighth house means an interest in psychic research or some other form of speculation about life after death. If Neptune is in the eighth house, you should die in your sleep or under anesthetic. Venus in the eighth house means an easy death. Counting by quadruplicities, the majority of the planets, 6 out of 10, are in cardinal signs, suggesting movement, leadership, creativity. The rest are all in mutable signs, implying changeableness, instability. The impression of instability is heightened by the fact that there are no planets at all in the fixed signs. The triplicities give a more balanced effect. 2 planets in fire signs, 3 in earth signs, 2 in air signs, and 3 in the water group. Neptune and Mercury are together in the second house, money and possessions. Neptune is an impressionable planet, and in this house suggests a tendency to be easily swindled in money matters. But this may be mitigated by the fact that Neptune is in Virgo, which ought to produce a more cautious, critical attitude to other people. Mercury in the second house, and exalted in Virgo, means a strong possibility of making money as a middleman or agent or in some field connected with communication. Perhaps this person might write popular books on psychic research. Uranus and Aries in the ninth house suggests an aggressively Aries, free-thinking and independent, Uranus, attitude to religion and philosophy, ninth house. Saturn, strong in Capricorn in the sixth house, is not promising for health and may cause a cold, calculating attitude to work and employers. One authority says that Mars in the 12th house means dangers of violence. But luckily, Jupiter is also in the 12th house, and the same authority says this means success. Enemies are not able to cause trouble. On the other hand, a different authority interprets Mars in the 12th house as considerable administrative ability usually produces success. Besides interpreting the planetary positions in the zodiac and the houses, the astrologer also considers the relative position of each planet to each other planet. These relative positions are called aspects. In diagram 10, Jupiter and Saturn are opposite each other with an angle of close to 180 degrees between them. Jupiter is directing its rays or vibrations at the Earth from one side, and Saturn is directing its rays or vibrations from the other side. The two planets are said to be in opposition, hostile, and in disagreement. This celestial disagreement will have disagreeable effects on the subject of the birth chart. Jupiter is the planet of prosperity and success. Saturn's opposition will tend to limit success and thwart ambition. Any two planets in opposition have unpleasant effects on Earth. For example, in cases where the Sun in Leo is in opposition to the Moon at the time of birth, the baby is likely to be afflicted with a squint, presumably caused by trying to look at the Sun and Moon in opposite directions at the same time. When two or more planets occupy the same position in the chart, or are within a few degrees of the same position, they are in conjunction, and their influences, playing on the Earth from the same direction, are mingled together. In diagram 10, Jupiter and Pluto are almost in conjunction, so are Mercury and Neptune. Whether a conjunction is favorable or unfavorable depends on the planets involved. Venus in conjunction with the Sun at a man's birth can inject his character, Sun, with the soft influences of Venus to cause effeminacy. A conjunction of the two evil planets, Mars and Saturn, has been dreaded for hundreds of years as a terrible omen. Lindo expects this conjunction in a birth chart to produce a malicious temperament with even a possibility of sadism. Traditionally, a conjunction of Sun and Moon at birth produces a lunatic, a personality, Sun, over-affected by Luna, the Moon. Modifying this, Lindo says that a conjunction of Sun and Moon will cause periodic bouts of depression. There are numerous other aspects which can be taken into account. In the old days, they were plainly labeled good or bad, but modern astrologers prefer to call them positive or negative, easy or difficult. The bad or difficult aspects are connected with the evil and ominous numbers 2, 4, and 8. Planets are in opposition, the worst possible aspect, when there is an angle of 180 degrees between them, which is the zodiac circle divided by 2. A square, 90-degree angle between two planets, divides the zodiac circle by 4, and a semi-square, 45-degree angle, divides it by 8. Sesquiquadrate, 135-degree angle, is square plus semi-square. The last bad aspect is quincunx, 150-degree angle. A quincunx is a group of 5 objects formed into a square, which is probably the reason for this aspect's ominousness. The good or easy aspects are connected with the comparatively favorable numbers 3, 5, 6, and 12, especially with 3, the luckiest of numbers. Trine, 120 degree angle between two planets, is the zodiac circle divided by 3. A grand trine, 3 or more planets in an equilateral triangle on the chart, is an excellent omen. Other good aspects are sextal, 60 degree angle, which divides the zodiac by 6, semi-sextal, 30-degree angle, which divides it by 12, quintal, 72-degree angle, which divides it by 5, and biquintal, 144-degree angle, which is 2 quintals. The effects of these aspects again vary with the planets involved. A bad aspect of Mars to Jupiter will give you a streak of wildness and extravagance, but a good aspect of Mars to Uranus produces a compelling personality with well-developed muscles. Adolf Hitler's birth chart shows Mars square to Saturn, which produces manic-depressive personalities. The zodiac signs also affect the picture. People born with the Sun in Capricorn, but with Saturn, Capricorn's ruler, badly aspected to Mars, will show revolutionary tendencies and will take a gleeful delight in watching other people suffer. Predicting Events by Zane, a textbook for courses in astrology at the Church of Light in Los Angeles, says that Edison was bound to lose money in companies promoting his inventions because at his birth, Mars in the second house, money, was square, unfavorable, to Uranus, inventions, in the fifth house, speculation. There are many other complications. To mention only one, the influences of non-zodiacal constellations can be taken into account. Vivian Robeson, a leading authority on this subject, noted that the constellations in the sky usually bear little or no resemblance to the objects they are supposed to represent, but that the objects turn out to be accurate symbols of the constellation's influence on earthly life. Quote, "The constellation of the dog, for example, actually influences dogs, ridiculous as it may appear," unquote. The influence of the constellation Argo, named for a ship, is connected with the sea, and particularly with drowning. Argo was in the eighth house, death, of Shelley's horoscope, and the poet duly died by drowning. The constellation Hare of Berenice affects baldness. When Mars is in the constellation Andromeda in bad aspect with the sun and moon, it causes death by hanging, decapitation, crucifixion, or impalement. Reduced to its simplest form, as recommended in many astrological textbooks for beginners, the process of analyzing a birth chart amounts to connecting together a set of keywords and then translating them into meaningful language. The nature of a planet, a zodiac sign, or a house is summed up in one or more keywords which can be linked into a sentence. Suppose you had Jupiter in Scorpio in the third house of your chart. This could be interpreted as, "The expansive influence of Jupiter will show itself passionately, Scorpio, in mental capacities, third house." If your astrologer repeated this statement to you as it stands, you would probably not be greatly impressed. He has to translate it into words which mean something. The trouble is that the number of ways in which he can do this is almost limitless. He might say that you will have a strong desire to broaden your interests and mental outlook, or he might tell you your mind is obsessed by sex, or he might say any one of 100 other things. And he could equally well have stated the same planetary position in entirely different keywords as, "The influence of Jupiter to prosperity will show itself secretively, Scorpio, in short journeys, third house," which perhaps might mean that you should be able to make money as a bookmaker. The wooliness of astrological language is one of the reasons for the constant failure of astrologers to agree on the interpretation of a given set of planetary positions. A chart can be interpreted in so many equally legitimate ways that two different astrologers are almost certain to produce two different interpretations. The fact that many astrological predictions are so all-embracing that they can scarcely fail to come true is also due to the vagueness of the astrologer's language as well as to his natural caution.